Welcome to Real Talk for the Nonprofit Event Pro, powered by Beyond, where we dive heart first into all things events in the nonprofit world. I'm Amy Milne, your host and CEO of Beyond and the Nonprofit Event Society, where we believe that your events matter. You're not just hosting an event, you're inviting people to join you in changing the world. We're here to talk tricks of the trade and share tales from the trenches so you can produce epic events that inspire participants, raise more money, and change lives. Let's dive in. I am beyond thrilled to welcome our guest, Allie Brooks, National Peer-to-Peer Director at Op3 Events, based in the U.S., to the show today. Allie is here to get real on all things peer-to-peer fundraising, along with a dash of website wisdom and a sprinkle of sound advice. This episode is sure to be one that you download and listen to many times. I know I will. So excited. Allie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, my friend. Good to see you in your blazer. I, too, am wearing a blazer. Yeah. Yes.
Can't see us, you should tell but the we are audience. The Blazer Sisters.
We are. That's just what we do. So great to see your face after all of these years and COVID and everything. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, so pumped. So I know who you are. I know all of the magic that you do in the nonprofit event world. But I would love you to tell our listeners all the amazingness about you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Once again, my name is Allie Brooks. I am, like Amy said, I'm elated and very excited to be here as well. So I've been in this event production industry for over 16 years, which is wild. If you could see me, you know, I don't look a day over 25.
Not at all.
I started when I was in my teens. So for the past 16 years, I've been helping nonprofits raise money, grow their participant base through fundraising campaigns and recruitment and full event production, even going into our COVID years of helping nonprofits pivot and come up with new event ideas to re-engage their participants and get them excited. At the crux of everything that I do is to engage communities, to help people raise money, to save lives, because that's why we do this. I have a television background, and what I love about production and what I love about events is you truly get to see something come to life. You get to see people have connections, and that's what I get to do every day. So I get to fill my heart with joy and excitement of helping nonprofits to engage their participants, to give them a reason to do what they do, to feel that they are connected to a cause that they are passionate about, a place for people to go and remember and honor people they loved, maybe lost. And as you know, Amy, this is the best place to do all of those things, to make sure that you, as a human being, are giving back into the world what we would like to see for ourselves. And that's what I do,
Amazing. And you're so freaking good at it. For our listeners, not only is Allie a cherished friend of mine in the space, but in life, but I actually hired Allie when I was at Sick Kids Hospital Foundation, when I was in-house creating a brand new event. I actually had Allie come in and help my team to build their coaching skills. And I'm going to have Allie tell us a little bit about what that means, because it's, you know, we're getting ready for the big day, but it doesn't necessarily mean like running a marathon. You know, we get our staff inside ready to coach our participants to get them to fundraise and, you know, achieve our goals on our events. So Allie, you run the gamut, and we're going to try and fit everything in while we chat. Chances are you'll be a return guest, but I really want to start in the coaching space, in that building community, because as we sort of chatted ahead of pressing record, people say in the corporate and wedding space that they do nonprofit events as well. It's kind of like on the side of their desk. And that kind of gets my blood boiling a little bit, because while they might produce and order toilets and tents and tablecloths and things like that, nonprofit events are so much more complex than that. You know, when you're producing someone else's event from a logistics perspective, you're not responsible for getting the people there. So if there's no people and there's no dollars raised, there's no fundraising event. And so I would love you to tell me and tell our listeners, how do you build that community? What do you do when you launch an event into the world and the first person registers? what do you do? And then how do you get more to register? And how do you then eventually get them to raise money?
That's a great question. And it is always something that, you know, nonprofits are struggling with, because there is a line of revenue that they need to get. So they can do run their programs, so they can help people, so they can educate. So building community and relationships with participants, as we know, is crucial to nonprofits.
Yep.
So if, as people say, like you said, wedding planners, or I'm an event planner and I do this and I do that and I help people, they don't understand the crux of it. So behind the curtain, there is a small group of people that are trying so desperately to raise money. Now they have, you know, they could have a gala and they could have big donors come in. But at the end of the day, it's that peer-to-peer fundraising that we're talking about. And peer-to-peer fundraising is me asking my friend Amy to give me money. Mm-hmm. And that can be as low as a dollar to thousands of dollars. Because I know, you know, you like to give thousands of dollars every day.
As you yeah.
Do. Yes. So it doesn't matter essentially how much each person gives, because that money will inspire somebody else to give, will inspire somebody else to give, because essentially as a participant in a nonprofit event, you become your own advocate. You become the reason that people want to join you, either join your team and walk, climb, ride, run, throw ice, whatever they're doing, or to give money. They do say people that don't do, give. And why people get nervous sometimes of asking people for money is they think they're going to say no. And this is one of my biggest coaching pieces. If you don't give them the opportunity to give, how would you know what their response is going to be? And the worst they can say is no, I can't do that right now, but how else can I help? Well, you can volunteer, or you can, you know, help me train, go for walks with me every day. There are so many different levels of growing this community. So building community relationships with participants is incredibly crucial to nonprofit events. For so many reasons, you know, events provide a very unique opportunity for nonprofits to connect with their supporters and community. You know, they might have relationships with hospitals, they might have relationships with doctors, but knowing those people that are affected by X, Y, and Z, heart disease, cancer, suicide, mental illness, whatever it is, to getting to know the community, to giving those folks a platform. You know, I've lost a father to cancer. I understand what it's like to struggle with mental illness. To know that there are nonprofits out there that you can go and meet people that you would never meet in your life. Basically how you and I met.
Yeah,
you live 100%. In Canada. I live in New Jersey.
Yeah.
But we met because we have a common goal in life. And that common goal can be used by these nonprofits to spread awareness, to recruit people to work, you know, work with them, to participate in their events. Events can also be used as an opportunity to, for those nonprofits, even collect feedback. Are the programs that we're doing helping? Is the money that we're using to allocate to these certain programs, have we seen life-changing pieces happen? MS Society, the money that they raise is groundbreaking for MS right now. You know, and folks that go and do their walks and their bikes and their climbs, no amount of money is too small. Because like I said, that is the trickle effect. You see that it's the tip jar. You know, people are more apt to give if they see money in that participant bucket. So additionally, a community of committed individuals who are invested in the organization's mission to help them promote the nonprofit's work. You get people for basically free workers, in a sense, are your participants that are telling other people about what you do. And how great is that? You know, so for fostering the sense of community and building these strong relationships, that's what it's all about. Because you're giving a child, a mother, a brother, an uncle, a grandmother, a place to recognize their people, to recognize themselves, to laugh, to cheer, to cry, to have those empowered moments to reflect and remember. And that's what these nonprofits are about. And maybe those wedding planners don't see that. They don't see that moment in an opening ceremony where you have to put on your sunglasses because you don't want everyone to see the tears running down your face as you're going to fix a tent. That's what
exactly.
This is about.
Or maybe tip up a porta potty that's been tipped over.
Exactly. As you're pushing it, getting that blue stuff all over your feet while crying because you're moved by a participant that maybe saw you upset. Put a hand on your shoulder. A complete stranger can change your life in 2 seconds on these events, as we know.
Those moments that happen at events have been some of my most life-changing, have taught me personally an extraordinary amount about myself and how I see the world. So I wholeheartedly agree with everything you said. And I think what's often missed in events in certain nonprofit organizations is this piece. People are often, they're either hired into the wrong job. And that's why, you know, as we continue to build this podcast and get people on, we can start to like, what is the role? Because I think people, you know, in many spots haven't figured it out yet. They hire an event planner who, yes, we need them. They're great. And they've got the logistics and they know how to do a critical path. But that person, you know, I think there's a unique few like you and me and a few of our crew that we know really well, that it takes a special human who wants to get on the phone and start from scratch and create a human being who, like you said, becomes that person that works beside you to fundraise. So what does that role look like in an organization? How does a nonprofit get started with that participant support?
So that's a great segue into what is coaching?
Yeah.
You know, so at the heart of who you and I are, we are fundraisers. We are customer service. Yeah. You know, we are people that are going to walk that person to that porta potty rather than just pointing a finger, because we don't see these folks as coming in as a checkbox. Okay, we got this many people. We got this many people. No, we see them as a person. And that all starts with creating an engaging website that is having a staff that is excited and doesn't necessarily have to have a personal connection to the cause, but has a personal connection to wanting to help, to be a good human. And that comes with that coaching program. So having a staff that is willing to make those phone calls, to have that 100 person feel like number one, to having goal setting, to having talking points, fundraising strategies. Now, this all comes in the pre-production work.
Yep.
So you can't just walk in, start making phone calls. You have to figure out who your participant base is, why they've joined, segmented out groups, team captains, first responders, individuals, alumni, survivors. There's all of these segmented groups that will need different type of messaging as you go through your coaching system. So you have your recruitment period, you have your fundraising period, you have your engagement period, you have your event concepting period. So there's all of these pieces that need to be put together, these blueprinting of building your campaign first before you even make that first phone call. And the purpose of a coach is to have that frontline customer service representative calling. You don't want it to seem like you're hired an organization or a robot calling system. Hi, this is Allie calling from blah, blah, blah. Are you ready to register? Okay, bye. You need to have that inflection. Hi, this is Allie. I'm so excited to talk with you. I know that you're a past participant. Tell me about your experience with this event. Or I see that you sent in a postcard and you're interested in knowing about our event. Let me tell you. And let me tell you from a personal experience of how much this event means to me. Tell me about your connection and not being afraid to ask those questions. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your connection. This is a person that has taken time out of their day to either answer a phone call, send in a request for information, mm-hmm. had a loss or whatever it is, and to be able to pick themselves up and to want to engage with you. So take that time and take that moment to talk with them. Don't rush people off the phone. Build those relationships, 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 relationships. Because what that will do is that will bring them back and they mm-hmm. will become your alumni. They will become your advocate. They will become your champion. They will build on their donations. Their donors will also become your advocate and your champions. So it's critical to those relationships to build that, because without that, like you said, you can always get the porta potties. You can get the tent vendor. You can get the stage. Mm-hmm. But without the people, without those dollars, how are you going to help the next generation, or how are you going to help the next family? That's why that coaching piece is so important, and to have, you know, that motivational management of mm-hmm. that. You can't just have a coaching program and a manager that doesn't care. Right. You need to have that manager that has been in the trenches, mm-hmm. that understands that world, so they can then motivate their team and also get those bigger questions answered. Those coaches don't need to be the ones that are answering, you know, the questions, where does all of this money go? Why don't I see all of these things? Those coaches can say, let me get you to my manager who can answer that bigger picture. I just want to help you and make sure that you understand the fundraising and that we're here for you and training and whatever encompasses that event.
Yeah. So much gold in everything that you just said. I'm like thinking back to when I started, it's kind of like when you start in the restaurant industry and you often have to start as the host or hostess, or you start in the dish bin because it's how you learn an appreciation. And while I was a leader heading into, you know, this business when I first started out, I was a coach for a few months. Mm-hmm. I think, like you said, it's innate in you and I. I think we're unique, again, in the sense that we get that customer service and I'm a decent logistics person. You're a superstar. But like that person building community piece is so important, and it's so often lost, or it's not given the attention it's needed. And, you know, I think this sector itself, there's two camps where like events matter to our organizations, or they cost too much money and we shouldn't do them. Like there's definitely the old school fundraiser. Maybe there's still new school, or like events don't raise money. I call bullshit. And there's so much that's where we get all the people that come to the org, and it's look at it as a marketing spend, if nothing else. But you would never, if you're going to do an event and you have a participant, you would never call a major gift person and be like, hey, I'm calling from X, give. So why would we treat our participant, who is a donor and support, who's a supporter of our organization, why would we not treat them the same way? And that is so missed. Like you and I work for a consultants, like we're outside, so we get to come inside. And it's so amazing to me how many times you sit down to start the conversation about like when the client's saying, hey, our events don't work. Okay, tell me about that. And they haven't even made a single phone call or personalized, you know, you spoke of segmentation. They hadn't even segmented, even if it's past participants and new participants. They haven't even figured that out to tweak the words to make it personal. And I think you and I have been doing this for 16 to 20 years, but more than ever, our culture of human beings are looking for community, especially after being locked up for 2 years. And we can't lose sight of that. And it's important for the mission, and it's important for humans. The expectation is that you will be a concierge to me. You will help me do this. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things I learned, and it's still there, is while nonprofit events and fundraising has become more popular and it's easier to do, because you and I are definitely of the age and stage of like the paper pledge form, which most people wouldn't, who knew in the industry, wouldn't know that anymore. Although I think they still sort of exist. But people don't innately know how to fundraise.
Right. Yep.
And so how would you help someone who's like, I've just registered for this walk. You've made your first coaching call and they're like so excited about the walk, but now they have to go to fundraise. And there's still, even though it's more popularized and it's easier to do, people still have this block. Like, I can't ask people for money. I know you touched on it. Number one rule in fundraising, if you don't ask, you don't get. So what are some of the things that you would like, what are the conversation starters or some of the things that you've used that you've coached others to use? Because that's the biggest crux often. They know how to run, but they don't know how to fundraise.
Totally, 100%. And I just want to go back to one thing you said about some nonprofits and, you know, the hierarchy of nonprofits of not seeing the value in the events. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have the full backing of the organization from the higher level, from the C-suite, then how are those coaches, those baby coaches, going to feel empowered enough to ask somebody to raise money? If you don't make those baby coaches feel that they are a part of your organization, how are they going to feel inspired to make money? You know, everybody needs to feel like they have a piece of the pie, stake in the game, you know? So if it's a run, walk, cycling, like I said, climbing, icing, throwing, it's a great way to raise money for your organization. You know, so starting with that, I was a baby coach too. When I started in this business, like I said, I was a teenager, but it was a million years ago where the platforms, the technology wasn't there. You know, it was very like a beta system. You almost had to just work on, you know, a typewriter in a sense.
Well, I'm a bit older than you are. And we literally, when we launched the Weekend in Breast Cancer in Canada, which is about 20 years ago now, we spent most of our time on our coaching calls signing people up for their first email address.
Right.
Yeah. So it's been around, but it hasn't. Right?
That's
like, it's
true.
A good mix of all of it. So being a baby coach is important, but I still think there's so many orgs that don't use coaching.
They don't use coaching. So the importance of coaching, like we talked about before. So the motivation, once you get somebody in the door, first of all, you have to have a compelling website. If your coaches don't understand your program, or if they're trying to get participants to go to a website that looks like it is was
garbage.
Done in the early 90s, that it, right, that is garbage, that is not mobile optimized, mm-hmm. that is not an easy place, that you're not clicking and clicking 15 different places to get to where you need to go, where you have a clear call to action. You have big buttons, you have information, you have pictures. Nobody likes to read anymore. It's just something that we've forgotten how to do. So give them those big call to actions, get them where they need to go quickly so that they can get fundraising. And that goes from your front page of your website to that participant dashboard. If they get into that participant dashboard and it looks completely different than what they just signed up for, you're going to lose them. They're going to stay at that zero balance. They're not going to want to fundraise $1 for you because it's too complicated. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it was just 20 years ago that people did not have email addresses. Mm-hmm. When I run my campaigns, I always think, how would my mom react to this? Sweet Claudia. She's going to listen to this. So mom, this is not a dig on you. It's just technology is a hurdle. It is hard. We are the last generation that has been split into two.
100%.
You know, we know what it was like before technology, and we are pretty good at technology.
Yep.
But our parents' generation, this is so foreign to them and not fair. But if you look at the data of who your fundraisers are, of who your participants are, especially for walking events, they are kind of that older generation. You know, that is that 50 to 70-year-olds that are really coming back and want to exercise and do all of those things. I'm not saying 50-year-olds are older generation. I'm just
like, I'm sorry. Oh my God, I'm about to be one of those in a
60
year.
60 to 90. Year. But 50 is the new 30, you know?
Totally is. I always think that.
So I come also from a theater background. So a theater background is you have something on paper. You know, you're building something on paper, and then you see it come to life. So your website, your call campaigns, your email campaigns, your on-site experience, they all need to match. You know, so where that coaching comes into play is your coaches need to understand what they're selling. It is selling.
Oh,
not
100%.
In a bad way, not in a creepy way, you know. Yeah. You're not used car salesman, but you are selling something. And that mm-hmm. something is an experience. That something is relationships. People have met on events. You and I have talked to these participants that have come by themselves, that have left with the best friends in the world.
100%.
That come year after year and then grow their team and they bring their kids and their kids grow up in this environment. You know, we've seen kids, 9, 10-year-olds that come with their parents to volunteer. Let's not forget that volunteers are also your fundraisers.
Yeah.
They are also your advocates. Once again, people that can't do, give, and that can be monetary or that can be with time.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of nonprofits also don't find the value in asking their volunteers to also fundraise. There's no reason not to ask them to fundraise.
Blows my mind.
Right? Me too.
Oh my gosh.
We always talk about it.
Like, we do too.
There's no reason that you can't, that your volunteers are still your participants, that they also can't fundraise. Give them a platform.
Yeah.
Give them the same participant experience. But then, yes, they get the volunteer shirt and they don't have to walk. But sometimes those volunteers are working harder than the people that have their feet on the pavement that are walking. They are there from dusk till dawn with us, or dawn till dusk, depending on
the event, or all 24 hours.
Right, exactly. 48, wherever you are. But they're helping you fly that plane. So they're obviously already invested. You know, asking registration fees for participants. Nonprofits are always afraid of doing that, but that is guaranteed revenue. You know, that is guaranteed revenue for your organization that is non-taxable that you can then use to pay your event consultants.
Yep.
That is something that you can use for different pieces, or you can make it tax exempt, whatever you want to do with your registration fee. But there's no reason not to ask for registration fee.
And I'm going to jump in there because it's a hot topic. I think you and I stand on the same soapbox on this one because, you know, we always say, a nonprofit's not going to get rich or save the world on their reg fees. But what it is it's a commitment from our participants. Yeah. Because I don't get to go to the movies and I'll just be like, I'm just going to watch the movie. And if I like it, I'll pay you. And if I don't like it, I'm not going to pay you. Like, there's a cost in everything. I don't get to go to the Gap and ask for a free pair of socks at the counter to go with my jeans because I'm like, well, I shouldn't pay for socks. It's like you have to pay for the experience, which then ties in to make sure that you're producing an experience that is worth paying for. But there is some psychology in the reg fee bit as well in terms of people committing and like there's some skin in the game.
Absolutely. But you can still make it seem like you're giving, you know, to your alumni. You can give them an early bird special. You can, 100%. You can, you know, have a referrer friend that friend gets to register at 10% off, whatever it is. You can still futz with
you can
the,
play with it,
you know,
just
the register. Absolutely.
It. Yeah.
Exactly. Just establish it from the beginning. Don't be afraid to use it. I know a lot of nonprofits post-pandemic were like, we're taking it away. Why are you taking it away? Because if you take it away, really hard to bring it back.
Yeah.
You know, because then people showing up to your event for free and then expecting an incredible event experience, they don't go hand in hand. It's really hard to do and it's really hard to sell. Lowering fundraising minimums, maybe, you know, but there's really no value in that because if you don't, like I said, if you don't ask for the money you need, how are you going to get it? You know, it's not, like you said, it's not going to the movies and you're like, maybe I'll pay. We'll see. It's going, this is what you're going to raise. You're going to raise $500, which is $50 from 10 people. That's it.
So That's easy.
It. It's so easy. And you own in, and a big ass is on the 1st and the 15th of every month, because that's when people get paid. And, you know.
So you know
and
you, the tricks. This is why you've been in business for so long and helped so many organizations raise so much money.
Exactly. And it's the saturation. It's asking people, you know, it says that somewhere written, I forget where I read this a million years ago, but we all use it. It takes 7 times for people to be asked to do something to actually do it. And that's the saturation. You know, they might not engage from your Facebook ad. They might not engage from the billboard. They might engage from that third phone call. Or they'll be like, oh, I remember seeing that. They hear your radio ad. You know, people are pulling back and pulling back and pulling back on marketing. But then you lose your saturation levels.
Yeah.
You know, they can hear it, but are they more visual? They can see it, but are they more auditory? You know, there's a million ways to slice a pizza or make a sandwich. The crux of an event will always be the same. You'll always get the tents, tables, and chairs will be there. Hopefully you have an engaging opening ceremony, but in that middle is all up to you, you know, but you have to have the marketing behind it. So the marketing behind it, social marketing is still a thing. That has to happen. Things that you can see a real ROI on. Billboards. I've started getting pamphlets again in the mail.
Oh my God. I say that to my clients all the time. Mailboxes are empty.
They're empty.
Like,
they're empty.
We all went digital. So send someone in, not just like a handwritten note. It can be a handwritten note, but also invite them to your event.
Absolutely. I got a big thing in the mail recently and it was big and it was colorful and I dug it. Yeah. I dug it. And am I going to participate? Maybe not. But you know what I did, Amy? I gave money right then. I went online and I donated because you know how I did it? There was a QR code. There's just easy ways to do something. You get it in your hand, you do it, it's fast. Yeah. You know, so I think that people are losing sight of the personal connection. They're losing sight of the technology. They're losing sight of the ask. The ask is to come to register. The ask is to raise money. They all go hand in hand. And the ask is for that registration fee. Because if you don't ask for it, like you said, what is that commitment to those people, to those folks? You know, you buy tickets for a concert and you get reminders.
Yep.
The concert is coming up soon. That's where these communications come into play. These coaching emails, you know, with these new platforms, there are so many pieces, automated messaging, milestone messaging, all of those things to keep your folks engaged. Without overly doing it in their inbox that they stop listening to you.
Yeah.
But that's where it comes into play with this flow of having email, phone calls, text messages, whatever it is, but not always screaming fundraise, 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 personal connections, stories, quotes, videos, pictures, the excitement, the engagement, build that up. If you build it, they will come. You know, Kevin Costner said it best.
Right.
The Field of Dreams.
It's so true.
Yes.
And it's, you know, if I throw my entrepreneur hat on and on a business owner side and a marketer, you know, email marketing is still a thing. It is still the number one way to get a hold of people. You can never say it. You can never email someone too much. Of course, there's going to be the person who says, oh my God, I get over emailed. Great. Thank you for your feedback. Feedback is a gift. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
But you need to stay relevant. And you said that, right? Like, you need to stay in someone's life. Like, you're my friend. We still have touch points, even if we can't physically see each other. Think of the last 2 years. We all had to stay in touch in different ways. Phone calls, absolutely, video calls, mail, email. We did it all. So it shouldn't be different. We're trying to build a community and take care of those who want to do good for our nonprofits.
Absolutely. And then, like you said, you stay relevant. People start looking out for those things. Mm-hmm. They start looking out for registration is open. They start looking out for that first phone call. And just to speak about, you know, people wanting and waiting for things, we send out Valentine's Day cards every year because my family can't get it together to send out Christmas, Hanukkah. You know, we just can't do it. So we decided that Valentine's is our thing. I found out in previous years that people are looking forward to it. They know we're going to send it and they look forward to getting it. That is the same concept. I mean, obviously, we have a very adorable family.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure Amy will post a lot of pictures of my son. Totally fine.
You can kid, for sure.
Yes. Blow it up. But people are, they expect it. They expect this event to happen every year. But also making tweaks for these organizations, updating your website. I can't, like, that is also a piece of what I do is I build websites. I build exciting campaigns through technology. You know, if you don't keep your website relevant, you don't keep it updated, if you don't change your headers of your email campaigns, if you don't change your language, it's going to become stale. It's going to become redundant. Find out what that is, that energy, that flow, that peace. And even we're tasked here, I work for an event agency called Op3, often tasked by clients to say, hey, our event experience has gotten a little stale. What can we do? We've thought about these ideas. We need an outside perspective. We need a new eye. How can we re-engage people to give them a really fun on-site experience? That doesn't mean that they're changing what their event is. It still could be a walk, still could be a run, still could be a bike ride. But what is that excitement, that on-site experience to get them to come and get them to come back? Because people spend, organizations, nonprofits, event agencies, whatever it is, spend so much money and so much time building out those site plans and getting the tents and getting the vendors. But then they send people off and they're like, bye, have a great day. No, what is that that keeps them there, that gets them excited to see that blueprint come to life after all these emails and all these excitements? Imagine walking into that stage or that theater, which is your event, and it being so stale,
right?
And low energy, and you don't have an MC, and you don't have a voice of God, and you don't have something for people to do and interactions. We've been there, you know?
Totally. Like, and especially if you've nailed everything you just shared with us, we've got the coaching, we have this engaging website, we've nailed that. And then we haven't taken our pictures and our words and had them come to life. And you touched on something that I've noticed isn't done as much by as many charities or nonprofits that should do it. And it's the opening ceremonies piece. I am a passionate, huge supporter. If you're going to do anything, that is your 5 to 7 to don't make it more than 12 minutes and don't let the whole freaking world talk. Tell me about opening ceremonies and the impact in the Value Alley, because I think this is missed by so many nonprofit events and their execution.
100%. Thank you so much for bringing this up. Once again, you're getting the things there. You're getting your stage. That stage show, that is the reason most people, they come. They come to hear those speakers. They come to see people that are like them, that are why that they are there. That is your storytelling moment. Mm-hmm. Having a CEO or a sponsor come up that doesn't have that personal connection, that's your MC, that's just talking about themselves. No, we do not want those people on the stage. We want an engaging host. We want a storytelling, like you said, 10 to 15 minutes. My mentor, his name is Matt Glass, always says, and Amy, you know this too.
Yeah, and he's going to be on this. I'm getting him on this.
10, 15 minutes, you make them laugh, cry, and cheer, and then they go. Yep. You know, so having those people on stage, telling that story, making a script, don't let people just riff and talk, because once again, so my son says, if I'm talking too much, you need to have them scripted, have the time, have your staff talk to the people that are going to be your speakers to tell their stories, to dwindle it down, to make sure it fits within that window, having some sort of element to it, mm-hmm. of crescendo, of music and fanfare, and having those, it's a performance. Mm-hmm. It's a stage performance. Can you imagine going to see Wicked and they just sit down in their chairs and say, no one mourns the Wicked. Bum, bum, bum. Yeah. Hey, Glenda, how you doing? I'm fine, Alphabet. Nice to see you. No.
And then Glenda goes off and talks about, you know, the trip she took, and she's going to run for mayor, and she's so excited and glad you're here.
Exactly. And, you know, follow me on Twitter. See you later. It's girl in the bubble, you know, yeah. But that's not what you want. You want people to come. You want it to be that they're almost taking their seats to watch something spectacular. Mm-hmm. And you give them that energy in that moment of the show, that crescendo, that lift of picking them up so high that all they can do is walk, or all they can do is run or jog or throw ice at their friends or hit them with a tortilla, whatever is going on at your event. You know, that's what that stage show is. It's about music. It's about connection. It's about an experience. It's about having a stage. It's about having a lectern, you know, having some people call it a podium.
Allie, what is a lectern?
Thank you so much for asking. Often people call a lectern a podium, but you stand on a podium and you speak from a lectern. So a lectern is a piece of equipment that is, you know, yay high, so you can put a binder on it and have a script book. And you tape that book down to the lectern. And in front of the lectern is a sign. And it can either be your logo, or it's called a lectern sign. And it can either be your logo, it could be whatever you want it to be, but it'll
be photographed. So make
and
it matter.
I'll tell you why. Yes, that is exactly what I was going to say, Amy, because you know what happens with that lectern and that speaker behind it? That is your hero shot. That is a moment that you want to play over and over and over again. And if you have a small stage, don't you worry. You can get a truss. You can get a stand up to put a banner behind it. You know, unless you have a really cool background that I do at one of my events in DC, which is the Capitol building, I don't put a backdrop on my stage, mm-hmm. but put a backdrop, dress your stage. It's called dressing your stage. Would you walk? Can you imagine once again going to Wicked and Elphaba not being green? She's right. Just like hanging out, you know, dress your stage, have them feel that they're walking into that moment, that that piece of paper that they registered on or that website that they registered on just came to life. Thank you.
That's almost like an amen moment, my friend. Like, I'm a huge supporter of the opening ceremonies, and they're missed so much. One of my other pet peeves about people having stages, and so maybe they brought the right lectern and they got the stage all dressed up and they nailed that, but they ran out of money, so their sound system sucks. How do we feel about that, Miss Brooks?
We feel really sad about that. And I'll tell you why. There's two camps here when it comes to vendors. There are some camps or nonprofits that want to get things for free, you know, because they don't want to spend. I know, shocking. It's brand new information. I know. But,
totally.
As Hayden would say. And when you get things for free, you don't necessarily know the quality that you're getting. Mm-hmm. If you're going to invest in anything, ears up, folks, invest in your sound system. Because it will not matter how dressed your stage is, like my friend Amy just said, if people can't hear you. Work with a sound company. Do not
say that. Say that again for the people in the back.
Work with a sound company. Do not work with DJs. DJs equipment is meant to be indoors at bar and bat mitzvahs. They're not meant to be at outdoor events. Having a DJ be your voice of God, fine. But having DJ speakers on a huge field in the middle of Chicago or in New York or whatever it is that you have wind, that you have people walking around, where you have hustle and bustle, they won't hear you. Invest in your audio system and invest in your tents. And make sure you have clean porta potties, but we'll get back to the porta potties later.
Paper's always
good. But sound system, And what comes with the sound system is also rehearsal. Your speakers, you get them there before the show. If they can come when you're loading in, even better. But if they can't come until the morning, you make sure that you have a rehearsal with your speakers. They know where they're hitting their marks. They know how to work the microphone. They know what distance to be from the microphone. If you're having multiple speakers, make sure you have multiple microphones. This is something that you'll work out with your sound vendor beforehand. If you're having a hype team come up on stage, make sure you have those Britney mics or a lav mic that goes on their shirt. Invest in the sound. You will never regret it. I promise.
Agreed. Agreed.
Thank you.
It's so, like, honestly, do anything in 2023, listener, to add to your event. I mean, I know we're going to have, you know, gold nuggets every week with every guest, because I only know there's so many incredible people out there that are going to talk to us. If you can do anything, if I pull from, it's like, make sure there's a clear call to action on your website and a register now button in your top left-hand corner, and think about your opening ceremonies. If you do those two things, register now, fundraise, you'll raise more money. And then you get a good sound and a proper opening ceremonies, you'll inspire people and they'll come back.
You're golden. You're golden. Right? And if you can with your website, if you have those big call to action buttons at the top, I would put it top right. Maybe because you're in Canada,
oh,
you put them on the left.
I don't even, I'm just backwards. top right.
Well, I didn't know if you're reading from the Torah. Like, I didn't know what was happening. But
right.
But, you know, going back to websites, if you are having those call to action buttons, have sticky navigation. So when people are scrolling down your page, those call to action buttons are still where they need to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and one last thing about websites, because I can talk about websites all day.
We'll do it
I
again.
I empower
we'll
everybody. Thank you. I empower everybody, if you're going into your new campaign season, to audit your website and take down those pages. You don't need 100 pages to trickle down to get people to read your information. They should have one solid landing page and then go to a few different other pages to get the information that they need. Once again, people will stop reading. They will get confused. Call to action. Make sure they hear you. Dress your stage. Get a lectern. Don't stand on it, because that's a podium. There you go.
It sure is. It's my favorite. And I think, just expand a little bit, and I will have you back to talk websites. It's one of my passion projects as well, and we do a lot of the same for our clients, is make sure that words you're using on the page are about the event and it speaks to the participant, and it's not talking about yourself so much, because that comes later. Like, it's really, you want these people to register. Very simple. You want them to register, then they can learn more about your organization.
Exactly.
And all the amazing work you're doing and stuff. To Ali's point, if you load it up with how great you are and it's amazing and look at all this awesome work, and the register now or what the event is lost, you've lost a potential participant.
Exactly. 100%. Got it.
All right, awesome. Allie, what is your favorite coaching tool when you're on the phone?
That's a great question.
And a coaching tool.
My coaching tool when I'm on the phone is talking about why the event is important and how the event is important to the person I'm talking to. Because I want to know their story. It's my favorite thing to do. It's my favorite thing to get to know people that you might never meet. But when I was a baby walker coach, my favorite thing would be, when you get to register, I'll be the one in the sideways New York Yankees hat. Please come and say hello to me. Because the relationships that you make and the more comfortable people feel with just the person and ghost on the phone, the more comfortable they'll feel to raise money, the more comfortable they'll feel to come to your event and not be nervous. You know, even if they're not the most in shape, they know that they can still come, they can still enjoy, they can walk as much as they can or run or cycle, whatever they need to do, but know that you're their coach from start to finish, that you are not just another person, that you are there for them. That's my favorite thing about coaching, that you get to be that person's champion and that person's cheerleader and go along on the ride with them.
I love that too. What is your go-to tool? Like, what do you need to have logistically? Like, when you're on event, what is the one thing you can't live without?
Me personally? It's a great question. I have really good snips to take down zip ties.
Yep.
Never, ever. Listeners, if you are on a vent, you never cut zip ties with a straight knife because you will cut your hand. Get really good snips, not scissors. They are good snips. Go to Home Depot. People try to take them from me all the time. I say no. So I used to have a Leatherman, but now all I have is a box cutter to cut the boxes and snips to cut the zip ties, and get yourself a good headlamp.
Right, Allie, I think you're going to have to send me links to those three tools that you love, and I will put those in the show notes, because finding the right snips is important in our
It'll change your life.
It's life-changing. It could take you from like taking route marking signage down in an hour to like 4 hours.
Exactly. And always feed your staff.
Always
make a food plan. Food plan. Yes.
Allie Brooks, you're one of my favorite. And
you,
I am so blessed that we got to spend this time with you. I am so excited our listeners get to learn from you. I could talk to you for hours and hours. I know you're going to be a return guest because there's so many things we can talk about. Thank you so much for your time and investing in Real Talk for the Nonprofit Event Pro.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening and doing good in the world. We see you. We can't wait for you to join us next time when we hear from another good human who will share their story, along with tips and tricks that will help you execute extraordinary events that are sure to have a lasting impact on your participants, beneficiaries, donors, and colleagues. Make sure you follow Real Talk for the Nonprofit Event Pro wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to rate and review the show so other nonprofit event pros just like you can find our podcast so they too can create events that matter. Tune in next week to laugh, cry, and cheer with us on another episode of Real Talk for the Nonprofit Event Pro. See you soon. Hey, good human. Are you hitting roadblocks with your events and marketing and need a bit of help to take it to the next level? We've got you. Sign up for our monthly hot seat coaching, where we will answer your questions live on the podcast. That's right. You'll get to join me, Amy Milne, and my colleague, Lisa Cohen, right here on Real Talk for the Nonprofit Event Pro podcast. And we will share our expertise to help you with your specific questions. Sound good? Great. Fill out the quick form by following the link in the show notes, and we'll take it from there. We're stoked to have you on the podcast, good human listener, to guide you through your current challenges. Keep it real.